We have often heard that that this has been an unusual year, and not in a good way. As you reflect on the things that have happened in the past 6 months, you sometimes get the feeling that you're in the midst of the plagues of Egypt, the virus, and all the effects of the virus. As there's been the lockdown, and there's been people who have lost their jobs or at least laid off. And we can be thankful that many, that for those who have not lost jobs, who have been able to work from home. The economy in a tailspin. And then, of course, we've had storms that have knocked down trees and large branches. At least we did in our area. We had our street blocked off by a tree that came down. And often that also means that electricity is lost in our homes. Then there were the peaceful protests that turned out not always to be so peaceful. And then there were the lantern bugs that came along. I mentioned the lantern bugs up to the folks in Coldenham. And do you have lantern bugs up here? Mm-hmm. They thought I was talking about lightning bugs or fireflies. We also look at the next 3 months as a time when there's going to be as much mudslinging as there has ever been during an election. Where do you find yourself in all of this? Do you find yourself going into depression? Do you find yourself going into the pit? That's what our psalm is about here as we come to look at Psalm 88 here this morning. There are times in life when everything is dark. If you've lost a close family member, particularly one who seemed to have all of life before him or her, and yet is taken away, there's darkness. And you descend into the pit. You're depressed. Well, this is typically regarded, Psalm 88, as the darkest of all the psalms. Because, as I said earlier, it begins in the pit, it ends in the pit, and it never gets out of the pit. It's always there. And yet it's a glorious psalm as it has its effect for us. Now, you may not understand that right now, but I trust that in the next half hour or so, you'll come to appreciate it and to have a greater longing for a psalm such as this one. Let's read it. Psalm 88, and one of the things that I do is I read the selahs that are there. I know that people don't read those words very often. It's part of the psalm. In most Bibles, you will see in a margin, if there is any explanation of the word selah, it's typically thought of to be, although not certain about this, a pause, a musical pause. I have read a study that I find to be quite credible that indicates that this is really pointing us back to the beginning of the psalm, to the first couple of lines, a reminder so that when we read, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night, it's instead of just repeating those words, it sends us back there. I'm not going to read it that way this morning, but you can take it either of these ways, and we're not even sure that either of them is correct. So let's read this, a psalm of the sons of Korah to the chief musician set to Mahalath Leonoth. a contemplation of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. Selah. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. May the Lord bless to us the reading of this portion of his word. Because it is his word, it comes to us by the Spirit of God. May he enlighten us. In the title of this psalm, it says it's a contemplation of Heman. Do you know who Heman is? Not a prominent figure in the scriptures, is he? He is this particular Heman, there are at least two that are mentioned in the scriptures, but this particular one is no doubt the grandson of Samuel, which puts us in the era, of course, of David. And he is one then who is involved in writing this psalm. We know very little about him. We can't point to any event that Heman was involved in which would say, okay, now we understand why you're writing this contemplation, this psalm that speaks about how you have been in the depths, how you have been in the darkness. But what it does point us to is suffering that God's people enter into, and particularly the suffering that our Lord endured. In fact, you see many parallels in this psalm concerning what Christ endured and how he endured them. So it points us to the suffering of Christ, but also to the suffering that God's people endure. And the pit that is mentioned in here, in fact, he says, you have put me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. As you think back through Scripture, you find God's people being placed in the pit. Quite literally, Joseph was placed in the pit. And when he was taken out of the pit, he wasn't really out of the pit, because he was sold as a slave. And there, living a godly life, he was arrested and put into the pit in a more deep way, a deeper way, as he was imprisoned. In Psalm 105, we sing that the Lord's word, him, referring to Joseph, refined. It was a pit that was useful for him. Another one that we think of as being in the pit was Jonah. Have you ever stopped to think what those 3 days must have been like for Jonah? How could he breathe? Did he eat raw fish as that big fish swallowed it? What could he see? He was in total darkness. It had to be a slimy pit. A totally uncomfortable pit. And Jesus says, no sign will be given to this generation during his ministry. No sign will be given to him but except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days in the belly of the fish. It's every once in a while I'll try to figure out, you know, just what was it like to be in that pit? Now, and there I begin to understand some of the darkness that he endured. And therefore, as a picture of what Christ would endure, the kind of darkness that he had to put up with. I can't think of one pleasant thing that he would have endured, that Jonah would have endured in the belly of that fish. Everything would have been unpleasant. How many times did he spit stuff out of his mouth? It was horrible. The apostles also suffered for Christ's sake. You remember what the apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi concerning the suffering of Christ? First of all, in the first chapter, he says, in the 29th verse, "For to you it has been granted in behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Can you imagine Paul writing that with a smile, as if you should receive it with a smile? That you get to suffer for the sake of Christ, as he, because later on in that same letter, he says in chapter 3, in verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." And you know, Paul was writing this from prison. And you remember the time that Paul was in prison with his buddy, Silas. And it was in that same city of Philippi. And what were they doing as they were held in the stocks in the inner dungeon? They were singing and praising God in the midst of that darkness. You look at what the apostles had to suffer and you see that they were often in the pit. Because the servant is not greater than his Lord. And as Jesus was one who was in the pit, so we are made to be in the pit, and we will endure the pit for the sake of Christ. Will we be able to endure it as Paul and Silas did? Will we be able to acknowledge the presence of Christ in our midst as he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age"? Here in our psalm, the 6th verse, he says, "You have laid me in the lowest pit." It's not just that he's gone down into the pit. You know, it's just, there are times when we might go down a little bit and think we're suffering a lot, but he says, "No, you've put me in the lowest pit." And the lowest pit for Christ, of course, was to have the Father's face turned away from him, so that he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so often we think of the pain of the nails that were driven into him as, and the shame that there was as he hung nakedly on the cross. But the worst of the cross was having his father turn his face away from him. He was in the lowest pit. And so in the very next verse, verse 7, he said, your wrath lies heavy on me. You have afflicted me with all your waves. So he endured the Father's wrath as he went into the lowest pit. And one of the things that marks the pit is loneliness. Did you notice that here? In a couple of these verses, verse 8, you have put away my acquaintances far from me, my companions. I don't have them with me. You have made me an abomination to them. Not only do I not have them, but I know they're talking behind my back about how awful I am now. And then as we come to the very last verse of the psalm, loved one and friend you have put far away from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. The depth of the pit is loneliness. And that's what Jesus felt at the cross. And he senses that God has cast him off completely. But he suffers through this by the God of salvation. Up to this point, you're wondering now, how in the world can this be a wonderful psalm? As I said earlier, a psalm that I want you to love. Well, Jesus was able to suffer through the darkness by the God of salvation as he addresses him at the beginning of the psalm, O Lord God of my salvation. And you'll notice that one of the things that he does is that he does not consider death to be a friend. That's the way it is for many. When they get into the pit, oh, if only I could die. There's an old saying that pneumonia is the old man's friend. That was until penicillin came along. Because there would be the old man wishing he could die, and he would be suffering with this, with pneumonia, and it would take his life. Many see that death is an escape from the pit, but the Heman here in writing this contemplation does not see this as fulfilling his purpose. He remembers his purpose in life, and you remember what it is as you recite from time to time the first catechism question and answer, or recite 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He says, how can your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark? You see, if I'm dead, how can I proclaim your praises? Are you remembering that as your purpose in life? A week or so ago, my wife and I were with our daughter's family and having a meal. And after the meal, our oldest grandson was to be playing in a baseball game. And I said, during a lull in the conversation, I said, why do you play baseball? Oh, I like it. It's fun. Any other reason? Well, it helps me to grow stronger, you know, that activity. probed a little more, and finally his dad says, "I think Grandpa's looking for a more important answer. Are you playing for the glory of God? Is that your purpose when you work? Is that your purpose when you play? Is that your purpose in life day after day?" And you see, that's the purpose that he has here. "Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" How can I be fulfilling the responsibility that I have, that you have given me, if you put me down here in the grave, if you leave me in the pit and just take my life away? He does not consider death to be his friend. How could he make God's glory known from the grave? And so he kept crying out to the Father. And that really never stops throughout this psalm, does it? "O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you." That's verse 1. Verse 9. "Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you." Verse 13. "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." He kept crying out to the Father. And then he stretched out his hands to the Father. When do you in life see someone stretch out hands to someone? I bet you parents have seen that often if you have little children. "Pick me up. Hold me. I'm tired. Cuddle me. Protect me." It's very much the picture of a little child coming before God and saying, "Pick me up. Be my protection. Care for me. I stretch out my hands to you." And so he sees the Father, of course, as his only hope. He had no other friend. Okay, so far this whole message has put us down in the pits, hasn't it? But let's think about what this means for us, how this affects us. Here's Christ who has gone down into the pit. Do you belong to Christ? Do you love Him? Are you trusting in Him? When you go into a pit, when you endure the sorts of things that we have been enduring for the last 6 months, you can't get away from Christ. When you descend into the pit, He's been there. He knows what it's like. He's there with you. And there's the comfort and the glory of it all. And not only that, you cannot get into a lower pit than Christ has been in. "You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths." If you think of Christ being down in the pit, and you find yourself descending, and you think, "Well, I'm getting too far," then you see Christ has been farther. He has been deeper in the pit. He knows what it's like, and He is the one who is able to hold you when you stretch out your hands to Him and you find His mercy and grace to be great. You find Him to be the one who lifts you up, the one who cares for you as you too are in the pit. You can't go into the depths that He suffered. You can't get that low. He won't let you get that low if you trust in Him. He was forsaken by our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father will not do that to you, because He's already done it to Christ for you. And it would be double jeopardy for Him to do it to you. Now that's for you who love Him, for you who know Him, for you who delight in Him. If there are any of you who do not yet trust in Him, you don't have this pleasure, you don't have the privilege of having Him there with you. And that's why we urge you, as I said earlier, why we urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to see that His grace is sufficient for you. You may think that you have your own way of climbing out of the pit, but typically those pits are slimy and slippery and you only fall deeper without Christ there to care for you. And so we plead with you to turn to Him, to come to Him, and to confess your sins before Him, to acknowledge that He is the one who has endured the wrath of the Father so that you don't have to. There's the beauty of it all. And so this is a glorious psalm because Christ has done it. He has faced it. He has faced it so that you don't have to. And when you do get into the pit, you find that He is there. And His arms are there to catch you, to cuddle you, to care for you, to provide for you. He had to suffer more than you will ever suffer in order that He might redeem you from the pit. In Psalm 40, some of you might be thinking of that psalm. He took me from the miry clay, from out the fearful pit. That's what He does. He lifts us up out of the pit in order that we might have joy, that we might have hope, we might have eternal life. So this psalm is left without resolution in order to show us the deepest suffering of our Savior, a suffering which He endured for us. And what He did should make you and me weep. It's what He did because of my sin, because of what I have done to drive Him to the cross. But also, let it bring you joy. Let it bring you joy in the midst of the grief that you suffer, because Christ is there. And if you forget that Christ is there when you're in the pit, you're going to be in trouble. And you need to be shaken so that you remember He's there. Or, now that I'm in the pit, He's here. He is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we cry out to You as the one who sent Jesus into the pit so that when we descend into the pit, He is there. He is with us. And He will lead us and lift us up, so that we are not overcome by the darkness of the pit, but rather that we will be given the hope of eternal life and bask in that hope forever. Cause us to do that, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.